Romans 10, 13 through 15.
For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things.
ローマ人への手紙10章13節から15節をお読みします。主の皆を呼び求める者は誰でも救われるのです。しかし信じたことのない方をどうして呼び求めることが できるでしょう。聞いたことのない方をどうして信じることができるでしょう。述べ伝える人がなくてどうして聞くことができるでしょう。使わされなくてはどうして述べ伝えることができるでしょう。次のように書かれている通りです。良いことの知らせを伝える人々の足はなんと立派でしょう。
Well, here we are again.
Amen.
Well, I looked at the back of your bulletin. You will see. For me, I just look at it and I see marks and symbols, things going this way. Some of those letters look to me, I could never write them in a million years. It looks like they have just bunches of marks on the inside of the letter itself. That's what I see. But if you're Japanese and you read Japanese, that is not what you see. Isn't that something? Sometimes people say, what do you see about God? And the outcome's nothing but just bad stuff. I had a guy the other day, he knows I'm a minister. He really likes to rib me. I'm not sure how much I should take from him. But right now, I'd let him do it. And you know, he'll say things that he thinks preachers are, like they're after your money, they lie, stuff like that. And so he said, though, one day he said something to me that a lot of us get sometimes. He said, I believe in a higher power. Okay, that's good. But what does your higher power expect from you? Right? Probably nothing. Just a higher power floating around in there. What do you see? Like, that's what he sees. He sees a higher power who is oblivious to any needs on this earth. It's just a higher power. What's he doing up there? Nothing. Just a higher power. Got all power, but not going to use it. Because I'd like to ask him, what does he say about your speech, your language? I just want to, but you know, that's another discussion. You get in that, and then that's another thing that happens is you get into these discussions about life. Why would God allow that? Like I can answer that question for him. And would my answer be sufficient, right? Would I be able to say, why did God allow this child to die and his mother was a great Christian? And oh, I just go on and on and on. And you go, I don't know, but I believe in him. His name is Jesus. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. That's what I believe. That's what I adhere to. I have no problem with any of that stuff. I just say, you know what? I can't answer every question you have. And then they'll say something like this. Well, where did God come from? Right? Well, let me think on that one a little bit. No, we'll say he's always been there. Impossible! You know, that's not possible. How do you believe that? And then, by the way, thank you very much, news people, for telling us that the bunch of Christians are so ignorant and stupid and dumb that we don't even know how to tie our shoes. I get really fed up with some of these. They talk about Facebook posts or Twitter, and I don't even deal with those things anymore. But all of that stuff, trying to belittle the believers, trying to say that we don't have any sense up here. And yet there are believers that have PhDs. No dummy there, right? PhD. We have professors. We have teachers. They're everywhere. And you know, maybe the world doesn't respect us. That's okay. But here's the thing. In fact, here's what I say back to someone like that. I've got this one so worked out. I can't wait to try it again. I'll probably get shot down. But in a discussion with a guy that told me where is God and when in like has he always been there, that kind of question. I said, well, I have one for you then. You just asked me to explain where, you know, God came from. I said, what is your belief? And he kind of hee-hawed around a little bit and basically was saying he believed in this Big Bang Theory. And I told him, I said, I'm not even sure what the Big Bang Theory is all about. You know, some kind of explosion took place, you know, energy is what he said. And he went in this discussion, and apparently he knew enough about it to share some things. So it's okay, great, something happened out there. Well, my question to him was, where did that energy come from? And you know what he said? He said, well, it's always been there. And I said, ta-da! And he said, no, you didn't get me. And he just kind of left it there. And I said, yes, I did get him. That was a perfect question. And so I say to you, I'd like to try that again on somebody just to see their reaction. But isn't it true? We all live on this earth in the same boat. We all have questions about where did this all come from? Even those that believe in evolution have to come back to something. Some point in history, in time, in whatever you call it, that something happened. And we just happen to say, well, maybe that something is called God, and maybe He's the one, possibly, that created all that we see and all that. Okay, so I just wanted to share that with you very quickly. Not sure why. Turn your Bibles with me. We're going to walk through something today. Now, if I asked you a question, I don't know if I want feedback or not, but I'll think about this. Let me ask you a question. When you mention the word preacher, something has to come to your mind. Maybe somebody that's like a, you know, gets his necktie on loosened, you know, he takes off his coat, throws it in the back there, and his arms are waving. And he's yelling, and he's shouting, and he's preaching, and he's telling you that you're going to go to hell if you don't repent. Well, that's what some people think. Then ask another person. Their mind may be like our Lutheran brother over here wears whatever kind of outfit you would call that. I'm not sure the names of these things. A Catholic church has these huge robes they put on the priest. And to them, that would be preaching. Nice and calm. That's what I like. Calm. I want it to be easy. And I would only go to a church where I don't get preached at. That's what they have to tell you. I don't like it when they kind of dig up some things. Well, preaching is supposed to get under your skin to a point. It's to make you think. So if I asked you today what you would think about preaching, you may have a various ideas about preaching. Well, today I am going to give to you a definition of preaching. I'm going to share with you. Now, we know that Jesus sat down and he taught his disciples. Another time he sat down and he taught a multitude or groups of people. At other times, we have the Sermon on the Mount. And there we find Jesus is in the mode of preaching. And there's something about preaching. And so I'm going to define today between preaching and teaching. At least at the basics, okay? This is going to be helpful. So in my mode today, I guess I'm a teacher / preacher. But however you want to say it, but it's intermingles with each other. So there's no way to say he's a preacher and he's just a teacher. But I'm going to share with you today how these things work. But as we go into our scripture, it's the very first thing Paul says that is very, very important. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, it's not hard to become a believer. It's just, you just confess something. You confess. I tell people that I believe along the way kind of theology. What I mean by the word along the way is that along the way you're introduced to Jesus. You do some things toward the Lord that shows that you're interested in Him. But you haven't quite made the commitment yet. But along the way, in fact, Pastor Aki talked about it last week as he was moving this way, talking about discipleship and so forth. And I recall that. But to me, it's along the way. What's happening along the way? And what I do, and I've shared this before, is that along the way, can anybody tell me exactly when Peter became a Christian? Because we know, if we do it along the way, the time that he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," when he was posed with the question from Jesus, that would sound to me like he is really bona fide, born again, believer in Jesus. You're the Lord, you're the Savior, you're the Messiah. But we also know that Peter denied Jesus three times. He denied him. Jesus said, "If you deny me, I will deny you before the Father in heaven." Uh-oh, Peter. You're in trouble. See, I don't know if God has a great big eraser in heaven.
I find this very difficult to believe that God just takes that as a great big eraser and he'll say something like, okay, Sandy, you did pretty good today.
Well, Sandy, you're home.
Right? And next week, Sandy messes up. Oh, she's repenting. Okay. Right, Sandy. It just doesn't make sense. And I know what people say, well, he's got a book in heaven. I understand all that. But what I am trying to say to you is that even the life of Peter cannot be identified when he would supposedly say the sinner's prayer, when he supposedly surrendered his life to the Lord. At some time in his life, he did that. From the beginning of seeing Jesus, being called as first a disciple, one that would follow Jesus, then an apostle, and then the leader of the church, and all that stuff about Peter, somewhere along the line, he became a true believer in Jesus. My life is much the same. I had an experience. They told me right down my birthday when I got saved. Well, I can do that to a point, but there's been a lot of flaws along the way. Anybody can say amen to that to your own lives, right? There's been a lot of mistakes that I've made and we've made that we would think, well, now I guess I'm not really a Christian. My thoughts aren't pure. I wonder what God thinks of all this. I even denied him to my friends. I wouldn't even mention his name at the workplace. I was so ashamed. And then you have to say, well, does God really have that great big eraser and he's erasing your name and he's waiting for you to repent? I don't think so. I just don't think so. I think God has much more grace than that in our lives. And so whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't give us any indication of all that's going on at that moment. You just call upon the Lord, and it's a call of help. It's a call of God reaching down into my life. It's a call where you're saying, God, I need you right now. And it's not to get you out of trouble, or it may be sometimes, but you're calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved. The word saved in this sense means be delivered from all kinds of things. It's a mental. In fact, that's what the Greek word actually means. It doesn't just mean to get you saved to go to heaven. It's a mental transformation. It's an emotional revival that you begin to deal with your emotions, and that's not easy. And then working on your body in receiving healing. So it covers a whole gamut of things about salvation, not just to get you to heaven. He wants you to live a very prosperous life down here, and that doesn't mean winning the lottery. I see Christians all the time, they're scratching out those numbers. Man. Oh, no, I lost again. And then they're always making promises what they're going to give God, like 2 times as much as tithing or whatever. I'm not going there. I just want to say to you, to be saved, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the call. Then the writer says, this is very interesting, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Oh, so isn't there something before that verse that says they that call upon the Lord shall be saved? Oh yes, there is. It's the message of Jesus. The day that I stood in the driveway, that lady that led me to the Lord, and I was wanting things to be done in my life because I was already a mess at age 22 years old, the way that I saw my life. And I was very angry and a lot of stuff. But she prayed for me. And she had me repeat what she called the sinner's prayer. All it was mumbles. I was shaking like a leaf. I don't even know why I was shaking so much. Maybe the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. Maybe this was just a hard prayer for me to say. Up to that point, I argued that I don't need to receive Jesus as my Savior. But she's prayed. And then she was praying for me to be delivered from cigarettes, which I hated with a passion. And I said, so I'm going to get delivered today from cigarettes. Then she says, follow me in this prayer. Dear Jesus. Okay, dear Jesus. I know I'm a sinner. I thought, okay. When's the cigarette part coming, right? I know I'm a sinner. And then I became like a nervous wreck. I just was shaking. I still remember that nothing I said, she would have me repeat it. I know for sure it was just mumbles. And I don't even know why. But something happened in my life that day. But I don't know what date it was. Sometime in early 1974, I think. And then in 1974, something else happened in my life where the pastor said, you're not going to just get to heaven and say, whoa, I made it. Wow. He said, either you know or you don't know. That affected me. You know, I'm not telling you that's how it works. Only God knows. That night I went up to an altar and I prayed. And since they wanted me to mark down my birthday, I marked down March 2nd, 1974 as the big day, you know. But I still went through many valleys and have gone through many valleys. When I would say, I don't even feel saved today. Anybody else can agree to that? I don't feel like I'm a Christian. I don't feel good. I don't feel I believe in God. I don't feel like it. Well, guess what? Your feelings have nothing to do with this. God doesn't care how you feel at that moment. You know, I don't feel saved. Well, join the crowd. That happens about 100 times a week to many of us. Just those moments when you really think, I'm just not reading my Bible enough. Another guilt trip, by the way, right? You've got to read your Bible, right? And you do, but you don't remember anything you read. You just read it to read it. Okay, I read a whole chapter. I got a chapter in today. Then you're in the next day. Two chapters you have to read. Three chapters. We had a guy one time that was reading, and this is what got me. There's a guy in my church. He was reading, I think he was reading 15 chapters a day. Wow. So I started reading 15 chapters a day. I don't remember anything about what I read. Except I got into Job, and it was totally mixing me up. I had read Job before, but man, just reading it straight through 15 chapters a day. It was like 2 days, 2.5 days of reading, whatever it was. And now I'm reading about a Leviathan. I'm reading about monsters of the deep. I'm reading about all these things. I said, who's talking right there? Oh, wait, that's one of the guys that is against Job. So he's not of the Lord, that guy. So I can't say amen to what he's saying. I said, who's talking now over here? Oh, that's one of the other guys. You know, is Job talking here? And then I go back up all the verses. Oh, yeah, Job's talking there. And he just starts talking. He's all the way in this next chapter. It was so confusing. And then I believe the Holy Spirit just got a hold of me at that moment and said, what are you doing? You know, what is this, a contest? And I really believe that from that moment on, I started really looking at it differently. It wasn't a contest. I have tried, you guys. I'm going to tell you something about me. I have tried for years to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I just don't make it. I get behind in my reading. Have I read every book of the Bible? Yes, I have. Do I know pretty much what each book talks about? Pretty much. But I've never gone from Genesis. I make it all the way. In fact, many years I made it just to the Joseph in the Coat of Many Colors and got bogged down with those long chapters about Joseph, you know, and the dream, and Joseph going to prison, getting out of prison, and then getting with his brothers and all of that. It just seemed so drawn out to me. Just tell your brothers who you are. No, we're not going to do that. Next 2-3 chapters later, he's still talking about that. Just say, you know, you're part of the Israelites. You know, and then he reveals who he is, and, you know, and it ends well in the end of Genesis. But it wasn't the way that I operated. And I had to reach down in my soul, and I had to say, Tom, what exactly do you want the Bible to say to you? Do you want to testify to a whole church of people? I've read Genesis all the way to Revelation 5 times this year. Or do you want to be able to say, I have peace with God and I feel good about my salvation? What would you rather say? And I believe that what the Lord wants from us is just to be honest with each other. So here we have the message. You cannot believe on Jesus and those if you've not believed. You just can't do it. You don't even know about Him. So don't try. Don't, okay, Lord save me. But you don't know what you're saying. So you've got to have something else. It's got to be deeper than that. So let's go on now. It says here, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? This is verse 14. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Now, it's very unusual in America for people to have not heard about Jesus. But have you really heard about Jesus? This is the message here, right? What about Him? Who is He? What did He come to do? Was He a good man? Just a good prophet? Did He do a lot of great miracles? Was He a good leader? Was He a good speaker? Did He read a book about the 3 steps to a great life? Did He read the book How to Be Rich and all those kind of things that people get their hands on today? Or was He who He said He was? Right? So now, let's nail it down. Jesus is the Messiah. That's who He is. He is the Lord of all. Amen. He is the Savior. He saves us from our sins. He is the one that resurrected from the dead, walked amongst us for 40 days, ascended up into heaven while they saw Him going up in a cloud, And then there's angels that are by the disciples that said, why stand ye gazing up in the sky? The same Jesus who you see go up there is going to come back in the same way, apparently in the clouds. So they see him go up in a cloud. And then they say, now listen, you guys, you just can't stand here gazing all day. That's over. He's in heaven. You get into Jerusalem and you wait for the promise. And they did that.
So there's a message. I wonder, can you add to that message? You could. He is totally without sin on this earth. The only human being who could say that. Never lived a life of sinning. Meaning sin once. If his mother said, go wash the dishes, he washed the dishes. Right? If his father gave him a command, you know, pick up this tool, he didn't rebel. He just picked up a tool, gave it to his dad. All through his lifetime, at age 30, he begins his ministry. And then the Bible says, Jesus, who without sin redeemed us. Without sin. What an amazing person. So here we have Jesus is the Savior. You can call it out with me if you want to. The Lord. What else? Without sin. Am I hitting all the points, you think? Your minds are working. Pretty much. Resurrected from the dead. Yeah, all of those things. Now you know. Now you know about Jesus. All right?
I just told you. You heard it with your ears. But here we get to the technical part. I want to share it with you. And he says, whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Now we're getting to the nitty-gritty of my sermon. Preaching is a gift. I'm going to name to you the five-fold ministry for your hearing today. Ephesians 4:11, I believe it is. Apostles. You don't hear much about apostles today. Prophets, kind of weird. Evangelists, some sort of fiery preachy guy. Pastors and teachers. What some people do is they try to put together pastors and teachers because Paul sort of identifies the others, right? God gave us apostles. He gave us prophets. He gave us evangelists, and he gave us teachers and preachers, or teachers, shepherds. And so we have the fivefold ministry. Some separate that, I don't. So there's something about...
Well, first of all, teaching. I want to share with you about teaching. How many of you ever put together years ago, this is when you're small, a coloring book that had dots to put the character together? I see a couple heads over here. No heads. There's one. Right, number one, two, three, four. And then pretty soon you're seeing like a face that you didn't even draw. You just put those together. Then you missed the number 11. You went to 12. Oops, then you scratch it out and you go to 11. Because that's his mouth. You know. Then you go back here and then you color it in.
Well, here's what a teacher does. And all preachers are teachers and so forth. But they connect the dots. They put it together. It's a gift. Don't you ever say this? How about when somebody really teaches a good message? Don't you ever think, I could have done that? Has that ever thought in your mind? Like, well, that was so easy. Why didn't I see that? The reason you didn't see it is because you don't have that gift. That gift is amazing.
I was talking with my wife before she was a Christian. And we had some great conversations. But I remember the day that Julie, still not a Christian, stuck in between my friend Jim Cook and myself in my pickup truck as we decided that we were going to have a prayer meeting to get Julie saved. Remember that, Julie? She does. I mean, like, wow, we got into our praying.
Well, Lord, save Julie today. Just bring her into the kingdom. And I don't know what she's thinking. Like, oh, let me out of this truck. In those days, in those kinds of prayer, we never really prayed until the windows were all steamed up. That's the way, you know, what a dummy we were. Like the windows had to get steamed up. But there's Julie in the middle, right? Well, that didn't work. How many guess that didn't work? Yeah, of course it didn't work. That wasn't ever going to work. You don't trap somebody into getting saved. You don't not let them out of your truck until she confesses Jesus. And we were like, Julie, you want to receive the Lord as your Savior? No. What? We just prayed till the windows are all steamed up. We're praying like crazy. Why don't you get saved? Well, I don't feel like getting saved right now. It's just as calm as can be. Anyway, then she said, you guys are weird. You know, all the stuff going on inside that truck was pretty weird to her in her world. To us, it was our normal world, right? We always got together. We always prayed. We always read the Bible. We're doing those things that we love to do. And Julie's sister, like, I just can't even imagine. And I'm thinking to myself, you have to get saved. Because we have prayed for you like we have never prayed. Let's come to the Lord as your Savior. Oh, no, not today. But, isn't the Holy Spirit good? There came a day when she, being a Jewish girl, she said, I don't want to read out of your Bible anymore, which offended me greatly. By the way, it's the same Bible I have right here. It became bigger as she would testify, like I brought it in with a wheelbarrow. She called it the Big Bible. And as a matter of fact, on a radio station one time, she's giving her testimony, and she forgets my name. I'm in the guy's backyard, I listen to the, you know, Christian radio station, Jews for Jesus, all this stuff. And she said, and then I met this guy. I'm thinking, Tom, I met this guy. I don't remember his name, but he and I are married now. And I met him, and that guy began to tell me about Jesus. And I'm in the backyard thinking to myself, you know, Julie, it wasn't hard to remember Tom. That's a hard, not a hard name. I want him to be famous and all that. Well, anyway, one day, she says, I don't want to read it anymore out of your Bible. Now, that meant something to Julie. And where did you even have your Bible? Was it with you? How did you get it?
It was at home. It was at home when I brought it.
Okay. So she says to me, I want to read Isaiah 53. You guys know what I'm talking about, I hope, right? Do I have to give a... That's the Bible verse about prophesying that Jesus is going to come and going to die on the cross. That's right there. Isaiah 53. Can't miss it. And so she reads it. Now, here's the kicker. This is amazing. This is when you know the Holy Spirit is working in somebody's life. You felt something inside. You felt like this window opened up. So here she is. We read it. And I'm getting excited because I sense revelation. And that was the moment that Julie finally, after a year of just preaching hard at her, telling her to come to the Lord, or always telling her we're praying for you, always saying something like that, that she really understood. She still didn't come to the Lord at that time. But I learned from the last time we were with her that I can't trap her into this. And so I just knew. I said, wow, Holy Spirit, that's the along the way thing. I'm telling you about along the way. The first idea didn't work, you know, force her to get saved. And parents treat their kids sometimes this way because they really want them to become believers. And they just kind of overshoot the mark. But so Julie wasn't ready right then. Then we read Isaiah 53, but she still wasn't ready. And the Lord did a miracle. He took me out of the picture. Because I had been with her for like a year, maybe a little longer, witnessing all the time. I really wanted her to get saved. I wanted her to become a believer. Obviously, we're not married at this time. We're just friends. And so one day, a guy from high school that she knew in high school ends up at a restaurant in northern San Diego County, Calma Vista, about 35 miles north of San Diego City proper. She sees him there, and they, knowing each other, they went out for coffee. Now, here's where the story gets a little weird for some people, but this is the story, and if I get it wrong, I hope Julie corrects me here. But while they go for coffee, she doesn't know he's a Christian. It's like a big setup by God, right? So here he is, and he starts talking about the Lord. While he's talking about Jesus and salvation, Julie, the Bible says the Jews seek after a sign, his face begins to turn like an angel's face. To this day, she doesn't know whether it was Jesus or an angel, but it wasn't his face. She told him, and tell me out, Julie, did you tell him to be quiet, stop talking about Jesus, and then you went to the restroom?
Well, and then it cleared up.
Cleared up.
And then he started talking, and it happened again.
Yes. Now, very careful who we tell this story to, because not everybody's going to go for it. But I know my wife. I've known her for over about 43, 44 years now. I know she's not one apt to try to exaggerate. This is something happened in her life. It was that moment. He then says to her, now this guy's a Baptist guy who doesn't believe in these kind of things, right? I can't even imagine what he's thinking about. But then he asks her the question, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And then she prays the prayer. Now the miracle is that the Lord kept me out of the picture because I would have been Mr. Prideful. In fact, I was jealous. I want to be the one. I said, Lord, I've witnessed to her with everything I've had for 1 year. Like I was really working hard, right? We pray hard. And then a guy comes, and one afternoon she becomes a Christian. I should have been rejoicing, but I was a little bit jealous. And so the Lord had to get a hold of me about that. Now, don't you all look at me that way, because you've been in where I'm at, too. We get jealous. You know? Your neighbor gets a raise in his job, and you don't get a raise, and then he doesn't live with the Lord. Okay, we're there. So, Julie now is a Christian. I don't know when you told your folks, so I'm kind of going with your testimony. We're having a discussion. Is that all right, husband and wife? When did you tell your mom and dad you were a believer? How did that happen? Huh?
I did not tell them right then because I knew I'd be in trouble.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's when you went to Mexico and your cousin found tracks. Yes, in the suitcase. Okay, that story is another one. She comes home from Mexico City and where a lot of relatives live, and they found tracks, gospel tracks in her suitcase. And so now the big thing is happening. Jesus, you can't do that. Don't you know you're Jewish? And so they kick her out of the house. They give her the option. Either stay here, deny Jesus, or we're going to kick you out. And she went with the Lord. Pretty amazing, you guys. This is an amazing story. She went with the Lord. I found her a place to live for huge rent money back then. $400 a month. It was like years ago. She had only been $150. But she needed a place to live. We moved her in there. We kept her going to church. And she had the ups and downs. You know, it wasn't smooth sailing after that. And then after the child was born, now we're married, and our first girl comes along, Anna. Yes, Anna. Now we got Anna in the picture. But I'm pretty sure I have my grandkids here, and we're going to have a whole family thing going on. But so Anna is born. You guys, I have to tell this story. It just amazes me. So her mother flies in, finally. You know, they don't like me at all. I'm a Christian, I'm a preacher, and whatever. And so her mother, because the baby's born, and Anna's a miracle birth, by the way, but her mother flies in, and right at the moment that Anna is being born, I'm there, and I look over my left shoulder, and I see Julie's mom looking through a window into this room. And I said, oh, your mom's here, Julie. And she was so tired and wore out. They gave her the Anna to her, and she was shaking because she was so tired. And but here's the story. Her mother arrives in Eugene, Oregon. And she told us she took a van that goes from Eugene Airport to this hospital. I said, really? They have an actual transportation from the airport to the hospital? Yeah. And she says, yeah, it was a really old van. It wasn't very clean. And the guy gave me a ride all the way from Eugene, Oregon, right to the hospital. And I started thinking about it. I said, that's not like public transportation. That's like some guy off the street who gave her a ride from Eugene about 50 miles north to come to Albany, Oregon. It's so funny. Her mother, how did she do this? Who did she talk to, like, in the airport? I still think it's a miracle. I believe it was an angel that did all this. That's just my belief. But her mother got there right when the baby was born. And to end my story, a good note, her mom and dad became sort of friends with me. And as the years went on, so many more stories. Why did I get here? Oh, I know why. Teachers put the dots together. Here we go. What does a preacher do? Ever think about that? What's his job? What is the preacher's job? Well, let me just share with you very quickly what it's like. Anybody here in history hear about a town crier? Julie has. A couple. It's not somebody that walks around town crying, by the way. He announces something. And I guess this goes back to the days of when he would use a very loudly proclaim, hear ye, hear ye. And it was announcing something special was going to take place in that town. Maybe a a representative, one of the king's chosen, would be coming through their town. And he would announce it so everybody knew. So, think about this. A preacher then has to raise their voice to some degree. It doesn't mean they're shouting, but they're speaking loudly. They're heralding something. They're vocally speaking it forth so people can hear. Hear ye, hear ye, here comes the queen. And then everybody comes out of their house and they're welcoming the queen. Oh, this is a wonderful day. So that's what the word means. It means to speak it forth. It means to herald it. It means to proclaim it. It means to tell it. It means to say it. It means to open your mouth. So a preacher has to open his mouth and tell you the story of Jesus. And sometimes you have to hear it many, many times before you cross that line and say, you know what? I really believe. Even though I've messed up my life so many times, I really believe and I want to serve the Lord. And then the ups and downs come because it's going to happen. But here's the message. It's preaching it. That's why the writer says, how shall they believe and hear and so forth without a preacher? And then he goes on to say, and how shall they preach unless they've been sent? The word sent is apostolos. That means apostle. That's where you get our apostle from. That means that this person, the Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Here's somebody sent from God. I believe I've been sent from God. Is that taking pride in that? No way. I believe Pastor Aki and Mandy have been sent by God, sent from God, purposely put in a place to be strategically there to help and to encourage and to build up the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. So a preacher does that. He preaches that way. He's got it, or he or she has it in their spirit. That way they're going to preach. They're going to herald. Hear ye, hear ye. Open your ears. It's time now that we are going to listen to something important. It's to get your attention. Right? And I've seen preachers do all kind of tricks to get your attention. But maybe just the Bible should be good enough, right? So here is a scriptural text that I want to read from. And it comes out of Isaiah, but it's quoted in the New Testament. Here's what it says. This eventually was quoted by Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. The word good tidings means gospel. Good news. This is Isaiah 61, 1 through 7. He hath sent me to build up the brokenhearted. Think about all the things he's going to say here. To proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Notice the word proclaim. Notice the word preach. Good tidings. I bring you good news, not bad news, folks. All right? Good news. That's what he's saying. An opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Wow. That's why we need preachers. The oil of joy for mourning. Some of us could use a dose of the oil of joy. You don't even know what it's like, maybe. It's amazing. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Wow. Take a moment with that one. Let me put a garment on you, Jesus says. Here's one. And then he puts it on your boy. Just all of a sudden, joy and praise starts coming up like a river. Wow. What is happening in my life? I should feel bad right now. The world is turned against me, but something has happened inside of me, something different. I feel good inside. Well, Jesus took his robe and he put it on you. Try this one on for size. I like that one. Amen. And that they might be called the trees of righteousness. I think that word trees in your Bible might say the word oak. The oaks, like an oak tree. One of the strongest trees in the forest is an oak tree. Anna, could you see if I'm right on that? Could you check your, go to different versions. It's 61. I just want to make sure I'm right on this. Verse 3. Let's see if that's 3 or 4. Oh, 3. I just want to see if it says the word oak. Now, I'm going to, it's already after 12. Are you okay? You're still with me? I guess so. I got you. I'm not letting you loose. You're stuck. You know, I got both doors locked. Oh, by the way, one church did lock the doors after the church started. And this one guy went to their church, and he said, "I'm never going back." He got out somehow, apparently. But he just said, "I'm never going to that church." They locked the doors after the service started. Okay. Now, I want you guys to hear this whole important. This is why we need preachers. We have a lot of teachers today, but we need preachers. "And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations." I take these words spiritually, by the way, and I'll tell you why in a moment. "And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves." Did you find that scripture? Could you read it, please? Verse 4.
"Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations."
Verse 3, I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry.
"To grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness."
Oaks of righteousness. That's important. I know the King James says trees, but think about an oak tree. I've seen them gigantic, and a huge wind can't take them down, but these are huge trees. And they tap down into water, and they find that good water, and they just keep growing, growing, and growing. It's so strong. That's what we need. We need strong Christians. We need to have a strong Christian that can care for baby Christians. We need strong Christians that can encourage the weak and those that are going through a trial. We need strong Christians who can help in a time of devastation to show you the way when there doesn't seem to be any way. That's what people do. We are generous people. We're generous because Jesus was generous to us. We want to help people. We want to reach out to them. We want to see them better their lives. We want to see them grow in the Lord. These are all things that we can do because we are an oak tree. We're planted in the Lord, and we're growing in the Lord. So a preacher does all of those things. He heralds the good news. He speaks about it. He tells you about it. So I'm going to end by this. I'm going to tell you today what is at your fingertips. Emotional healing right before you. You could ask me how. I don't know how it's going to work. Only God knows. Number two, physical healing. He wants to heal your physical body, but I know someone who wasn't healed. Don't worry. I'm telling you what God wants to do. The Bible says, "I am," God speaking, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." He even wrote a song about that. All right, Jehovah Jireh. I'm the Lord that provides and heals and so forth. All right, number three, He is here to save, to deliver, to raise you up, to bring you to where you need to be. He's able to do that. His hands are big enough to handle your problems. Don't be afraid to tell Him what you're going through. He wants to hear from you, but that's what He's here to do today. So I'm going to stand right here. I know those are going to look behind them on the spot. I just wonder, I don't even know what you think of this, but I like it. I like the spot. And I'm going to pray for you. So would you stand with me, please? Lord, I just pray your light would come down. Come down upon us. The light of the Bible. The Word of God. All right. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray a prayer. I pray this prayer that it won't fall on deaf ears, but because I am called as a preacher of the gospel to bring forth good news, I pray, Lord, that the good news will reach the heart, will reach the soul, the spirit, the depths of our being, to have confidence in the Lord God Almighty, that God is not just able to do these things. We want to go past that, Lord. We want to go past your ability, which we know is
far beyond what we could do. But we want to get down to the willingness of God to do it. Like you spoke to the leper that day, I am willing to heal you. And the leper was cleansed. God would say to us today, I am willing to meet your needs. I am willing to heal your body. I am willing to save your soul. I am willing to set your mind free. I am willing to heal your family. I am willing to minister to you. That was a message from God, folks. That was a message from God. Receive that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Alrighty. Time for our last one.